Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy feast to all. Before I begin, I would like to compliment the festival coordinator, Mr. Malier, for finding this wonderful place. As I drive here every day for this feast, I look at those vineyards out there, and this is truly a garden. We get to see this, and God brings us here for this wonderful, wonderful time to be here. And just to remind me of a scripture that I read in Psalms 80 and verse 8, those vines that are out there, God likened his children when he brought them out of Egypt. He said, "My vines I brought out of Egypt and I planted them." Could that be us in the spiritual sense, that we now are here in names written in the book of life? And that's you. The message today that I will bring to you deals with one of the senses that God has given all of us. And he relishes this one sense. Long ago, God applied a test to Abraham which required his love and possession at that time was his son Isaac. And he said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to Mount Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering." Of course, we continue to read the story. Isaac was not sacrificed. God wanted to know. And as we stand here before him in his court, he wants to know about your commitment. As soon as Abraham lifted the knife to kill Isaac, God stopped him. And God knew then where his heart was. And as we stand here today, he wants to know where your heart is. This example in your Bible for us is important to the God, our Father. For many of you who have young children here now, Abraham and Sarah, they were very, very advanced in age, waited many years for that son to materialize and come into being. Would you take your only loved one, your only one, and follow God's edict? What would go through your mind? What would you think? This example lets us soak in the things that God would want us to know and want us to feel. And as we have experienced the messages so far, this Feast of Tabernacles, we've talked about moral responsibility, digging deeper, going the extra mile, and doing what is right when it hurts. We're going to talk about a savor, a sweet savor that goes up to God's throne every single day. That's you. And we look at the examples in the Old Testament about the burnt offerings and how that God was very pleased with that. We know that Christ came to this world here to usher in that new covenant, that we could be redeemed and saved. The words that God has put in your Bible is for our edification. It's for us to know. It gives us a path to follow. It leads us in the messages and the days that it should follow and that we should know and continue. We today will look at why God placed high importance and relevance on that burnt offering. And that's where that savor and that smell goes up to his throne. We'll walk through this message and go through your Bible and find out, is it relevant today? Does that smell, that savor, still goes up to God's throne today? Even though we don't physically do these things, but there is a way, and we will explore that. The title of this message is A Sweet Savor Unto God. We find in your Bible this powerful word, savor. And in the Harper's Bible Dictionary, it is defined as to enjoy, to relish. The use of this word can again give us more insight into the way of life that we still do not completely understand. God does not tell us everything. He directs us to do things. Even the angels stand in awe of why he directs them to do certain things. So let us begin and turn to some scriptures here that's going to give us some relevance here, give us insight, some examples of why we do what we do. In Genesis 8, in verse 20, Genesis 8, verse 20, here, this is Noah. This is after the flood. It says, Noah built an altar to the Lord, and on it he made a burnt offering of each type of clean animal and bird. In verse 21, it says, the Lord smelled that soothing aroma, and he said to himself, as when he made this promise to all man, animals in this earth, he said, I will never again curse the ground because of humans, even though from birth their hearts are set on nothing but evil. I will never again kill every creature as I have just done. God gave us a rainbow. And many, many months ago, I gave a sermon about that rainbow. That rainbow that we see is that promise that we can see that God will never flood this earth and destroy all life. But in Ezekiel, when he had that vision, when he saw God's throne, what did he see? He saw a rainbow. On the earth, you only see half of the rainbow. God's throne, it was 360 around his throne, was that rainbow. We know that we ought to strive to be that savor rising to God's throne. Question for you. When do we become that savor in these modern times? God says this, if you turn to Ezekiel 20 and verse 41, God says this, when I bring you out of the nations and gather you from the countries where you have been scattered, I will accept you as if you were a pleasing sacrifice. Through you I will reveal myself as holy to the nations that are watching. Watching. Nothing can be more proof that the gospel church which we stand shall be the place where Jesus Christ will bring his redeemed and where they shall all be accepted in him. That sweet savor of this person, blood and righteousness will be the one gracious cause where we shall all be gathered, blessed, and made joyful and happy. In these next three scriptures I'm going to read here, if you'd follow along, we start our journey a little closer to our Father and His Son. And as we are instructed by his word, we must come to grips with our sinfulness, which means change. God will continue to forgive us if we continue to lay bare our sins before Him daily. James 5 and verse 16 talks about that confession. James 5, verse 16 says, "Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that they may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its workings." The book of Hebrews 13 and verse 15, tells us, "Let us then always offer praise to God as our sacrifice through Jesus, which is the offering presented by lips that confess Him as Lord. And the God of peace Himself sanctifies you wholly, and you, by your spirit and soul and body, be presented entirely without blame as the coming of our older brother, Jesus Christ." Now, in the next scriptures we're going to read, it's going to tell us what to do. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. What do we do? Ephesians 5 and verse 1, it tells us we must imitate God, since you are children He loves. Live in love as Christ has loved us. Verse 2. He gave His life for us, an offering and a sacrifice to that soothing aroma to God. Can we be that soothing aroma to God? We criticize ourselves quite harshly when we don't do what we should do. And we go to our prayer closet and we confess and we tell God, "Why do you still bother with me?" Well, He bothers with us because we come to Him on bent knee and confess our sins. We find ourselves here at this beautiful feast site enjoying what God has provided. And we thank Him for that He loves us tremendously. And He tells us continually, "You cannot think like me. You cannot think like I think." He gave us just a bit of Himself to us, that spirit that's in you right now. And He wants to smell that sweet savor from you as you walk upon this earth. And He tells us in Ephesians 3 and verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love. You see, Christ's way of life creates in us that sweet-smelling aroma that goes up to God's throne. Now, if you could picture in your mind's eye right now, just think, Does God have a smile on his face because you sit here? You're focused on fellowship, on these messages, which is going to enliven you even further in your walk. You think he's smiling. You know, the wonders of technology now, it's like on the Weather Channel. They have these cameras in any part of the world, they can set them up, and you can see that vapor that leaves this earth and goes up, and it comes back down. And I, in my mind, pictures that as that sweet smell that permeates this earth now. Yet so few that walk and profess God's good news to this world. The song we just sang, "The Heavens God's Glory Do Declare," says no words are spoken. No words need to be spoken, because you are the living embodiment of the walk on this earth. But what if you lose that saber? In Luke 14, in verse 34, here is a warning for us. And it refers to salt. Luke 14, verse 34, it says, "Salt is good, but if it lose its taste, how will you restore it?" Losing that sweet savor is equivalent to deteriorating salt, becoming useless. We look here in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, it says, "But I thank God, who always leads us in victory because of Christ. Wherever we go, God uses us to make clear what it means to know Christ. It's like a fragrance that fills the air." And verse 15 is where we're going. It says, "To God we are that aroma of Christ among those who are saved and of those who are dying." We are that savor because we are in that body, in the body of Christ. That's where that aroma comes from, and God is pleased with that. This is your burnt offering today as you walk this earth. And God wants us to strive every day to keep that smell refreshed. And here we are with Sabbath, the high days. And here we are. In the old days, they mentioned the Feast of Shelters, which is the Feast of Tabernacles, where we find ourselves today. To be rejuvenated, to go back into the world with an aroma that's 10 times greater than what we had when we arrived. To refresh and walk and let the world know that the good news is coming. The good news is here. And we walk among men, but yet they can't put their finger on it. They see you. He says, "What is that?" They will know when their time comes. In verse 16, it says, "To the people who are dying, that fragrance is the ones who reject Christ's body." We have opportunity here. And God tells us each and every day How are you doing? And when we don't do things quite the right way, we go back and we still have these things we have to deal with in life. Things we want. But you have to remember, the old man still lives. The old man is still there. Jesus Christ, in his last words on that cross, said, "Now I have overcome the world." He did not say, "I have now overcome Satan." The world is what we deal with. Satan is just the button pusher. When you walk through those commandments, verse 6, murder, 7, adultery, 8, stealing, 9, lying, 10, coveting. These are the things that we deal with every single day. And they do get in the way of things, of our walk. We stumble, and God knows. When he made that promise, when he smelled that sweet savor that Noah sent up, we're born under this evil sign. And he knows that it's in us, and we must fight it every single day. He's merciful, he's loving, and he has put his hands on you. We must not forget that he opened doors for us. And when we have trials, do we thank him that the trial that come through is not as severe as it could be? Do we thank him for that? And sometimes we utter the words, "I can't get any worse than this." Oh, yes, it can. Oh, yes, it can. And we thank God that he put limits. He put limits on our enemy. We go back to the book of Job, and how did Satan in that crooked finger said, "You put that fence around him." Yes. But you can't do anything you want with him or us. There's a fence around you. There's a room for you to grow and to be more loving, having more empathy, and thanking him for making us a part of that plan. We stand today. This is the proving ground. I come from a town that there is a proving ground, the biggest one in this country. And they test everything that our military has to offer. This is our proving ground, this world. And we, and God will make sure that we have the proper equipment, the proper wherewithal to do what we do and walk before men. Many of you who are still working, do you get out of your bed as I did many years ago and ask God, "Let me find favor in these people's sight today, that my walk will be easier"? Do we involve God in every single aspect of our walk? But that's what he wants, to be that savior. And he looks down at you and he sees that and says, "That's my child." And that's what he said about Job. But Job had to come to the realization at the very end. He said, "I've heard about you, but now I see you." God sees you, and he wants you to be successful in your walk. And we must, because time draws near, look around you. Things are happening pretty quickly now. We must be prepared. to do what will be painful. And also, I need to mention, as you, as followers of Christ, you are standing in His court. You are learning to be in God's royal court forever. Pillars in that temple when He brings it down here to this earth. Training ground. Training ground is where we are now. Doing these things that pleases Him, and He will have no doubt. No doubt, as our elder brother who will stand and look at you. As we read in the book of Matthew about those who did things superficially, wanting to look good before men. But only Jesus Christ will govern. He will give you the authorization to pass into eternity. Period. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in my temple. Revelation 3 and verse 12. I will make him a pillar in my temple of my God, and he will go out no more. That's you. This is the first harvest, the special harvest. We'll go out no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God with that new name. In Revelation 7 and verse 15, it says, therefore, they are before the throne of God. You. Are we serious enough? Are we taking in this time of peace that we have now? You know, when God tells us in writing in this book, there will be times like nothing ever before. What does that mean? What does that mean? I think about the time before the flood. And when God uttered those words, I am sorry I made man because of the sinfulness then. This will be worse. This will be 100 times worse. And you read in Revelation of how for 3.5 years God's people would be turned over to that beast. And I've had many men tell me, no, that can't be true. God will protect us. But God doesn't say anything beyond that. But there will be protection. But will it be for you or me? Things to think about, because God doesn't tell us everything. Our short attention span and the limitedness of our brain will not encompass anything that God's mind has for us. But He gives us this opportunity to feed us. It's like taking a dropper, one drop at a time. How old are you? How many drops have you had since you come out of the water? God tells us that we don't go around like the average salesman selling impure things. We speak the truth. We speak the gospel. We speak things that's going to come to fruition. And yes, we will be called out for it. They will come looking for you and me. And why are you speaking like this? This is nothing new. Go back and read Ezekiel and Jeremiah. And what did they do? Said, stop talking. We don't want to hear that. But today is a time for us to continue to do the things which are pleasing in our God's sight. Mercy, he shows us. For they that are such serve not the Lord God, but their own bellies. And they, by their smooth and fair speech, they beguile the hearts of the innocent. Romans 16:18. They're all around us. They're all around us. Are we strong enough to push through and do what is pleasing in God's sight? And Christ said, if any man serves me, let him follow me. John 12:26. If any man serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there I am shall be, and my servant will be. We stand before God, striving every day to be that pleasing aroma in the eyes of our Father. He says that he will never leave us. You know, and I know, it's not an easy task for us here in this temporary tent that we call home right now. Nonetheless, we must continue to speak and to send up that aroma of our way of life. What you do, not what you say. That comes into play too. I spent 32 years of them watching me play church, and those were the things that came out of their mouths. Oh, he's just playing. He'll be with us in the bar in a minute. 32 years went by, and no. No. Are we strong enough? Your Bible is a powerful tool to be used. We understand it, and it's for us. It's for us. Even though it's the best-selling book in the entire world, everybody have one. We understand it. We are the ones chosen to know the meaning that's in this book. We are chosen to see, feel, taste, and touch what's to come. God knows what's in our hearts. And he knows if we can finish this race. In these words, it's the greatest of God's family that they want to expand with you in it. He wants you to be in that family in every single day. What's your name? That crooked finger points to you. Christ had to admonish Peter. And he used a word that troubles me. He said, yes, Satan has called your name and he wants to sift you. What does that mean? He wants to sift you. If he can stop you from fulfilling that purpose that God has for you, it's all good for him. He just jumped for joy. But our God is there to help us through these times, and he'll give you everything you need to get there. I think about the men that I grew up with. And most of those guys are not here anymore. Good friend of mine, mentor, Chuck Zimmerman. Daughter Courtney is here with her family and Jim. And he put words that he received from his father in me, and it just brings life to my thoughts. And I will utter those words after we read this next scripture here, as I leave you with, in Luke 12 and verse 32. Luke 12 and verse 32. It says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And as my good friend would say, and mentor, to the kingdom.